Let me just tell you what's on my heart first, and then we'll see if that goes with the sermon or not. Just moments of clarity, and we've been talking about, you know, whatever God was doing, it's over. A wave is coming. Prepare. And as we, today, this morning, and maybe some other things that God has confirmed, I just had a moment of clarity. I wanted to share it with you and just, you know, all the work that Pastor Green and Kathleen are doing behind the scenes, getting ready to impact the community. And you know, they know, they've told me themselves, you know, they're laying a groundwork for something bigger than themselves. And they, everybody wants credit. But I hear from them, like, they know, like, you know, we may not ever get the credit, but something big's going to happen. Amen. They know that. They share it with me, and we see it developing, and it's just amazing, a groundwork that's being laid to be ready to impact the community in an amazing way. As I was thinking about that, because the timing, we want to know when, right? Well, when do we start? You know, in the summer we were really busy, right? Then we kind of just rest for a little while, and it's not red time yet, and I'm saying all of that to say that I just had a moment of clarity where it's like, you know, prepare yourselves. The reason why the enemy is attacking in many of your families, he won't win, but he attacks your heart, your confidence, your hope. He attacks. He's trying to take out as many people as he can, like a war, before this community is turned upside down. And I believe we're going to be a big part of that move of the community. I don't see it like in a few months or a year. You know, I don't know the timing, but I do feel in my heart that God's preparing us all for something pretty amazing. You know, I'm just telling you what's in my heart. And we have amazing servant hearts in this place. And some of you have real good servant hearts, but the enemy has kept you so preoccupied, you haven't been able to do as much as you want and that kind of thing. The enemy is trying to take out servants so that we don't impact the community. And it started becoming more and more real to me. You know, there's moments when a brother like Demesio had come to me and spoke one-on-one with me, and I really appreciated it about Daniel, about what he felt in his heart. And that was a moment that it was kind of a revelationary moment for me, a perspective. And I appreciate that, Demesio, and don't let that get, you know, to your head, you know, too much pride, but I want to give credit. Where credit is due. I mean, God uses people. Right? He'll use you to say a word to each other. Right? Amen. And you shouldn't hesitate. When you feel you have a word for a brother or sister, you should go. If it's of God, it will make sense to the person. If it's not of God, then they'll be like, you're crazy. But that's okay. Move on. Right? But, and I had that moment. And then a few weeks ago, I'm like getting a bad cold or flu, and I'm trying to fight it. And I just, one night, it was like that Friday night or something, I just told Alyssa, because I was already sick for like 2 days, and I told her, I don't think I'm going to make it this weekend. It's getting worse. I mean, I'm going downhill fast. I think I got a flu. I'm getting chills and fever now. And at that moment, like 20 minutes after I said that, the door is knocking, and Pete rushes into my door and said, we got to pray. And he just, I'm like, this is of God. I just told Alyssa, I'm not going to make it this weekend. And boy, he just came in there like, I don't care what you tell me, I'm going to pray. And we're like, well, Daniel's a little sick. We're going to pray for him too. Get him over here. I appreciated that, you know, not that, I mean, I don't want everyone rushing into my house. But there's moments in time, right, where it's God has put something in your heart. And when he left, something, I don't know, clicked that the enemy is in an attack mode. And that's awesome because I know that means God's preparing something amazing. And I think it's happening to a lot of families where you feel, you know, like directionless. The enemy's trying to throw things a little off kilter. But what's exciting about it is he never wins. As long as you stay true and firm, stick with God, keep going to him, he won't win. And the victories are going to come. God's going to use you in an amazing way. You see, when we begin to impact this community somehow, some way, in God's perfect timing, even Pastor Green and I don't know exactly the timing on when things are going to go and we're going to flood the community. But we're going to need helpers, which we have. We're going to need prayer warriors. Pray for people that need prayer wherever we're at and have the anointing of the Holy Spirit with them. And we're going to need people to be ready to go minister spiritually, maybe Bible studies out there. Who knows? But we are the ones that are going to fill those needs and gaps. And you don't just go do that if you haven't gone through the fire. Amen? So as the New Testament says, count it worthy to go through these trials. Just faint not. Do not be weary in well-doing. Keep on fighting the good fight. Like, moment of clarity for me was more than ever, we're going to impact this community. And I don't know if that just means Donna or the area or whatever, but we're going to impact this area in a way that many, many churches wish they could, because of the foundation being laid right now. And you are part of that foundation. You are part of what is going to happen at another level to impact this community. And the end result will be salvations, and people who were lost are now found. And you, your blessing and peace and joy is going to come from watching God use you for kingdom purposes. And all the little things that you're worried about, stressed about now are going to grow strangely dim as you begin to refocus and see it how God sees it. Do you understand? God is shifting everything. And so right now, in my heart, I'm feeling a moment of clarity saying this, that the enemy is attacking. The enemy is trying to frustrate or cause confusion. What's next? But I'm more confident than ever that this is all going to end well. It's going to end well. The ground will be taken for his kingdom. Because I know we have leaders who are willing to go to the foxhole and fight for the kingdom. And I know there's leaders in waiting and you that are going to be used to go and fight the good fight and bring souls to the kingdom and impact this community. So as all of this is going on in the spirit, that I just wanted to just share that from my heart. God's got this. He's not confused. He's got, he knows what he's doing. And those of you who responded today to the altar, the answer is always get back at Jesus' feet. Go back. Fight to be in church. Fight to pray, to read. Fight for these things, these principles. Giving and being faithful in your tithes and offerings. Fight to get it all right, because you will see it clearly. You will see it clearly, and you won't be overtaken by this world, by the things of this world. So fight. Fight for it. Fight for these things, because great things are happening. And it's not going to happen this month, next month. It's going to be a time, but it's a preparation. It's a preparation. And pray for your pastor to help prepare and help you prepare how we're going to impact this community. And I'm so excited on the inside, my spirit, because I see it clearly. I see something amazing happening. And it all started with this revelation from, and confirmed by the group that came from Duncanville, that whatever God was doing, it's over. And now we're preparing for a new wave. And you know, maybe I was hoping that wave was like this fall or coming, but I'm getting the sense now that it's a longer term project, but it doesn't change the fact that the preparation has to be serious. And the preparation has to be the word I'm looking for has to be done with hard work, sacrificing. Exactly, the preparation has to be done with respecting what we're doing, honoring what we're doing, and it's impacting this community for His kingdom. So I'm going to leave that there. I wanted it to be recorded so we can go back to it and we can pray about it. But it's exciting. So thank you, everybody, for just pray. Pray for Alyssa and I. Pray for Kathleen and Pastor Green. They're doing amazing work out there. We were able to help lots of families yesterday. So praise the Lord. I want to go into the lesson. It's a short one, so let's just go right into it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. The title of this sermon is this: Be at the right place at the right time. Right place at the right time. You know, Usain Bolt. Anybody know who Usain Bolt is? The 100-yard sprinter, the fastest man in the world, right? Jamaican. Okay, he's the fastest man in the world, 100-yard dash. But I bet you, how much you want to bet? Can pastors bet? A friendly wager? No, not even? Okay. All right. The council might want to talk to me then. All right. I bet, not really, but figure of speech, I bet somewhere in this world there's somebody that runs faster than him. The problem is he hasn't been at the right place at the right time. He's probably farming in Africa right now, making sure they have food on the table. Or father's a doctor, says, you're not going to that. There's no career there. You're going to be a doctor. And he's going to school right now. The point is that being at the right place at the right time is critical to being recognized, to doing a big thing, to being big in the world's eyes, right? Being at the right place at the right time. See, if Justin Bieber was growing up in the 60s and didn't have YouTube, he would not have ever been found. He was born at the right place, at the right time, from the world's perspective, right? Not that we all want to be Justin Bieber, but you get the point, right? He was at the right place at the right time, born at the right time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, I never really read this scripture before, and I have read it, but I didn't. But I read it this time, and it spoke. You know, that happens, right? Spoke to me. I've been reading a lot of Ecclesiastes because I love there's a time for this, there's a time for that. You know, I love that. Love the wisdom. There's wisdom in Ecclesiastes. And it says, I returned and saw under the sun. This is Solomon. I believe Solomon is the author of this book, The Wisdom of Solomon. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. See, the race isn't always won by the fastest person, nor the battle to the strong. And the battle's not always won by the strongest person. Neither yet bread to the wise. And it is not always the wisest person who has food on the table. Nor yet riches to the men of understanding. And it's not the most knowledgeable person that has the most riches, right? Or else how would like a Paris Hilton be rich? I mean, right? I'm not sure what her IQ level is, but she's probably not the most knowledgeable, learned, you know, educated person. So riches don't always go to the most knowledgeable, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. See, this is saying that the people who make it, time and chance, at the right place, at the right time. The blessed things in life don't happen to the smartest and the richest, most famous. It happens to people who are at the right place at the right time. The world calls this coincidence, right? But in God's world, we can call it like God incidents, right? There's also, so this concept applies to the world, but it applies to you in the kingdom of God. You look through this book, it's full of people being at the right place, at the right time, and God moved. The Red Sea would not have opened if there was no one there that needed it opened. They were at the right place at the right time because there was an obedient Moses who, by the way, fought God, right? And eventually came to his senses. And once he got the vision, you couldn't stop him. Isn't that like us? Just like us, right? We fight God. Oh, God, no, you got to do it my way, God. No, we're going to do it this way. But then once we see God moving, it's like, yeah, let's go do it. That's what Moses did. But in order for him to be at the right place, at the right time, he needed to have been obedient along the way. So here's what I'm saying to you, church. We want to be in the right place at the right time. But in order to get there, it doesn't just happen. There's got to be some movement of obedience, of being where God wants us to be. Because His timing is perfect. His ways are better than our ways. That's what the Bible says. His ways are better than our ways. And here's this woman. I want to read quickly this story in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. There's this woman in 2 Kings chapter 8. There's this woman that Elisha healed her son. And here's the story. It's just 6 verses. Let's read it. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go, thou and thy household, and sojourn whosoever thou canst, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of Philistines 7 years. So point number one is the woman obeyed the word from the Lord coming from the prophet of God. An important first step in your life is to be obedient to the words from the Lord. Amen? If you are obedient to the words of the Lord, you will be at the right place at the right time. And she was obedient. And it came to pass after 7 years ended that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So she had to leave because of a big famine. And now she's coming back and everything's gone, right? Property's gone. Everything's gone. And the king talked with the Gehazi, the servant of the man of the God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. So the king's pretty impressed with this Elisha character. And this woman is connected to Elisha because Elisha healed her son, right? That's called a connection, right? It was a relationship connection. And it came to pass, verse 5, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life from the dead cried to the king for her house. Talk about being at the right place at the right time. Here the king is saying, oh, tell me that story about Elisha. Oh, he healed this woman's son. And as he's telling the story, the woman walks in to the king at that exact time. She was obedient. And she was at the right place. And she came for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman that we're talking about right now. And this is her son that raised from the dead, whom Elisha restored to life. Can you just imagine the king? You know how you watch TV sometimes and someone's telling you, oh, I had this story and this person came and I was in the firing car, was on fire, and they came and they rescued me from the fire and I'm so grateful. And by the way, he's sitting right there. Right? It's like, oh, that even makes it more incredible. He's right there, the hero. That's kind of the way it was. Here it is, king. Here's the story. Elisha healed the son, and the mom was just devastated, and the son was dead, and Elisha just healed him, and then he rose from the dead. Oh, by the way, there she is, and the son. And I'm sure the king was like, wow. Even the king was wowed. And this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him that this was true. So the king appointed her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Restore it all. You see, being obedient, as she was, leaving and coming back. When she left not knowing that she would ever get her land back. But she was obedient to God's word through the prophet. But you know what? God figured it out. Do you trust God to that level? God ever ask you to do something? Well, but now I'm not going to have this or that. I've got to ask myself these questions too. I'm a human being, pastor responsibility, but I got to trust him. You have to trust him. Money isn't everything. You know, this world is not everything. What is everything is being in God's right place and right time. That's everything. And this woman, this story that's kind of hidden in 2 Kings, we don't read about it a lot. But here it is, an obedient servant of the Lord. God figured it out. You trust him this morning, he'll figure it out. So how can we make sure we're in the right place at the right time? Let me end with that thought. How can we be sure that we're at the right place? It looks like I'm going to have to start bringing my glasses. Because I'm having trouble reading these and I'm winging it. But I'm hanging in there. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 22. You know, I like it. I was going to make a joke that if you want to hear how we can make sure you're at the right place at the right time, go ahead and buy my CD for $99. That's a good one, right? And then you can go and get the answer on how you can make sure you're at the right place at the right time. But no, we don't do it that way, right? We give our tithes and offerings and receive everything and be obedient and do it God's way. Amen. You got to put yourself in a position to be at the right place at the right time, right? As many of you know, pray for your pastor because he's going through stress because the Houston Astros are in the playoffs, right? So I'm recording them, and whenever I get a chance, I'm watching them, right? I don't watch it live because I don't have that time in the commercial time. I just don't have that time. So I'm recording it, and I just, like, fast forward through stuff, try to go through it as fast as possible. Well, there was a play the other day where the runner didn't do what he was supposed to do, or he could have done better, and was thrown out at home plate by just like split seconds. And anyway, if you know baseball, the guy probably should have been running sooner, and he should have not been that delayed. But the runner did not put himself in position to be successful. If you follow the rules, you know, if you have a full count, you should pretty much just run after the pitch, right? Because there's two outs. That's the rule. Well, he kind of didn't do that. So he was thrown out. But see, as Christians, we got to put ourselves in a position where God is, we can hear God. Amen? Amen? So you got to be in church. Not because church saves you. Not because church is the way to heaven, but because you're putting yourself in a position to hear from God. And see, that's the thing that when you see people stop being consistent to church and you start worrying because they're not putting themselves in a position to hear from God. And the pastor, you're like, oh, then you know the devil's putting them in other positions. Right? It's a war out there. And so I'm so, whenever I see, you know, young people, young adults, and just young couples, and just making every effort to be in church no matter how busy life was, you're putting yourself in a position to hear from God. Like this morning, we've heard from God this morning, amen? I don't know about you, but I feel I've heard from God, so I'm excited and I'm glad I'm here. But if I was home or if you were home, we wouldn't be hearing that. We need to be in the right place at the right time. We need to be cognizant. We need to put ourselves in position to be where God wants us to be. So, if you put yourself in a position to hear from God, you don't have to be holy enough to hear from God. Amen? You just have to be willing to kill your pride and sit and pray, read, give, care, and open your heart to His leading. That's it. Surrender, basically. And you'll start hearing from God. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you received a new heart. Anybody receive a new heart? You sure did. Your old heart was leading you to sin and pride, but your new heart is leading you to care for others, to pray for others, to follow God, to answer the call. So your old heart, sin, your new heart, righteousness. Trust your new heart. Trust your new heart. God's speaking to your new heart. Amen. Your old sinful heart, don't listen to that one. Because it speaks. Have anybody noticed? It's still there. Amen. It's dying. But it speaks. You know, that little lie here or there just to keep me out of trouble. Somebody asked me one time that, you know, those white lies are all lies, sin. And, you know, sometimes someone tells you, how does my dress look? And you're like, oh, it's awesome. And you're like, oh, my God. Are those sins? And that was a tough question to answer as a pastor. But I came to this conclusion. What is the intent of your heart, right? If the intent of your heart is to lie, like, for example, you're late and you just woke up late from work and you told your boss, hey, I'm running late. I had to run an errand. Well, now you're just saying something to defend self, right? That's the intent of your heart. That's a lie, right? So the intent of your heart has everything to do with motives, right? Your motive. But I went off track there for a little bit. Let's get back on track. When you gave your heart, you have a new heart. So trust your new heart. Your new heart is in line with God's will. Did you know that? The new heart that you have for God is in line with God's will. Trust it. Trust it. Your new heart will lead you to the right place at the right time. So your challenge is figuring out which one is your sinful heart speaking or your sinful mind, and what's your righteous heart speaking, your spirit. John 10:22, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. They're like, tell us, are you the Messiah or not? And Jesus answered, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you have these people saying, Jesus, tell us, are you the Messiah? He's like, I've already said it. I'm showing it. But only my sheep can see it. You see, when you're a child of God and you begin to listen to your new heart and your spirit heart, you know God's voice. You know God's voice. It's not an audible voice, but you know His direction and His leading, because it lines up with your new heart. It lines up with the Spirit. It lines up with His Word. It lines up. So how can we make sure that we're at the right place at the right time? Number one, you got to put yourself in positions to hear from God. You got to be in church. You got to read your Bibles. You got to pray. You got to pray for others. Put in yourself in position to be used and to hear from God. And number two, real simple, kind of what we did this morning. Sit at Jesus' feet whenever you can. Just be in church, go to the altar or kneel, or just be in that moment with God. Sit at His feet. We all know the story of Mary and Martha, right? Where Mary or Martha, I forget which one. I guess we can look at it in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Martha was the one that was serving. And Mary was the busybody. Mary was the one serving, and Martha was the busybody. So we all know the story. The point of that story is you can't get too busy and miss Jesus. That's the point of that story. You'll miss it. You won't be at the right place at the right time if you get too busy to be in church, if you get too busy to read your Bible, if you get too busy to pray. We've all had those days where we're just exhausted. But, you know, Alyssa and I are always reminding each other, you know, I know you're tired, but don't forget to read your Bible before you go to bed. Yes, yes. You know, it's good to be reminded, right? But you can't be too busy for God. I remember Pastor Green had a leadership meeting many, many years ago, and we're sitting there, and he flat out said, if you're too busy for God, you know, we're wasting our time. You're not going to get anywhere with leaders and people that God wants to use, and they're just too busy to read their Bible and pray, and they're too busy to be in church because, you know, you can't be too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. You gotta turn things around. So that's how you can make sure that you are at the right place at the right time, is that you gotta put yourself in position, be in church, pray, read, be faithful in your givings, put yourself in positions for the blessings of God, to hear from God. And number two, you gotta sit at Jesus' feet. You got to have those moments when you're just, okay, Lord, I surrender. You know, as we talked about last week, stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine, and you will end up at the right place at the right time. Because if you don't, you'll labor in vain. You'll be working so hard, but you're not giving God His time, or you're not putting yourself in position. You'll just labor in vain, like in the wilderness, running in circles. Make sure God is in it. Make sure God is in your decision-making process. Make sure God is in your home. Make sure God is in your hurts, in your circumstances. Make sure God is in your joy. Make sure God is in it. Make sure He's in your life. If you're going through some stressful times, make sure He's in that. Make sure you're being honest with God, saying, Lord, this is stressing me out. I need You. I need a moment. And someone's going to come knocking at your door. I need to pray for you. Right? And it doesn't always happen that way, but you know, you hear stories of people praying for people, and later on they connect and it makes sense. So be obedient is the last thing. So number one, be in a position, sit at Jesus' feet, be obedient, like this woman was. Obedient. You start living your life like that, you're going to be at the right place at the right time. So in summary, it's not about being the smartest or the richest or the best looking, as we read in Ecclesiastics. It's about hearing from God one day at a time and being connected to the vine so that we can be at the right place at the right time, being obedient. When God begins to move and we begin to see signs and wonders and His power, it will be amazing. It will be amazing. I want to make sure I prepare each and every one of you to be at the right place at the right time. God is on the move. A wave is coming. And we don't want to miss it. God is alive and well in His perfect timing. In His perfect timing, He will begin to show the world His greatness. Let's be ready. Let's be at the right place at the right time. So take that with you. I hope you wrote something down. If you didn't, you need to write this down. I need to never forget to write something down. All right. If you don't have anything yet, that's what you're ending with today. Don't forget to write something down. Be at the right place, right time. Church, I really feel that in my heart that God's preparing us to impact people in an amazing way. The foundation is being laid. And Pastor Green and Kathleen are a big, big part of that. Keep them in your prayers as well. They're a big part of the foundation being laid. They're going to be in the background. Everybody wants to be in the front right lines, but, you know, God is doing what He's doing. And who knows, God may raise someone else to, you know, we may all be in the background and other people. It doesn't really matter who gets credit, right? As long as it's God. So be at the right place, right time. The enemy is attacking. Hold on to Jesus and He will lose and you will gain ground. Just live that faith, confidence. So that's why I want to end. A reminder, on Tuesdays at 7, we are having our prayer meeting. I'm slowly developing, talking about the book of Revelations. We're kind of getting used to how we're going to do that. So I want to encourage you, anybody on Tuesday at 7, we're praying, we're doing some worship, but we're spending a little time just kind of breaking Revelations down a little bit, trying to make it understandable for us that don't understand what all the trumpets and vials and all that. But just a reminder, if you're interested in that, I think this will be a good starting little teaching tool. Field of Faith was moved to the 25th of October. So I encourage you to support Eloy. He's going to give his testimony in front of thousands of people. That's exciting. He's not nervous at all. Pray with him. Unfortunately, I'm out of town that day, but I want to encourage you. We'll announce it next week too, but let's support Eloy in that, so to the best of our. And it's actually a good thing for the city. We're talking about this community impacting. We need those kind of things. Amen. So I want to encourage you to be part of it. be part of it. We need those kind of spiritual prayer times as a city. And that's a moment, an opportunity to do that. So praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for the taco, Magali. Thank you for the present, Karen. And thank you all for your prayers. And pray for each other. Pray for each other. Just keep fighting the good fight. And young adults, don't forget that your once a month thing is going to be coming up pretty soon on the youth night and on you guys' own fellowship time. So make sure you guys are talking to each other. You know, keep it going. It's up to you. It's up to you to keep it going. It's time to change the world. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their hearts, for their servant hearts, for the fact that, Lord, they're just hard workers, and I thank you, Lord. I'm just so blessed to be working with a group that loves you so much and wants to make a difference in this world. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place today, that we'll just leave this place with this in mind, that we want to be in the right place at the right time. We're going to sit at your feet, Jesus. We're going to be obedient, Lord. And we're just going to put ourselves in a position to hear from you. So, Lord, go with us. We just pray that we come back for the next service, ready to hear from you again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, clap hands. You're dismissed.